I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today is one of our face-off episodes, which departs from our usual interview format. There are so many approaches and choices in business, particularly when you're trying to make some changes or when you're addressing challenges. It can get confusing for those of us who need to make decisions about what path to take. That's why I thought it would be fun to bring on two really great experts with a different approach to the same topic, and they can debate it. We'll see how it turns out. After hearing both sides, you can pick the approach that works best for you. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Dori Clark, author and professor, and Eric Rubin, attorney and literary agent. So why don't you please introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your background and your work. Dori, why don't you go first?
All right. Thank you very much, David. So I'm Dori Clark. I am the author of two books, Reinventing You and the forthcoming Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. I teach for the Duke University Fuqua School of Business, and I blog regularly at Forbes and the Harvard Business Review.
Great. Eric, how about you?
Hi, I'm Eric Rubin. I'm a graduate of Cardozo School of Law. For over 25 years, I've been an attorney. And a literary agent, and at the same time, for much of that time, I was a professional entertainer doing stand-up and also performing in film, television, and off-Broadway. I speak quite a bit all around the country at various writers' conferences, and that's me.
Well, I'm super excited to welcome both of you to Smashing the Plateau. In particular, together you have such a breadth of experience that I'm really excited about what I'm hoping will be a really stimulating conversation. But first of all, why don't we start off by talking a little bit about your own views of personal branding? And Eric, why don't you start?
Well, first of all, I've read Dory's book and I know Dory for years. I have a great deal of respect for Dory. My concern about the phrase personal branding is that there seems to be, especially of late with social media, a tremendous push by people to create this veneer of a personal brand that is empty or unsubstantiated. And I think my experience, for instance, as an actor, it was very important to have a specific type that people could relate to. So when they said, well, what kind of actor are you? I could say, well, I'm that strange love child of Alan Rickman and Jeff Goldblum. If you need somebody but dark, who's dark but funny, you know, that, and that way it was clear what they were getting. But they still, of course, had to have something behind that characterization. My concern with branding as people are using it today, not necessarily Dory, but other people are using it, as a way to sort of create buzzwords, jargon, but there's no there. And so I would love a return to substance.
So Dori, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your view on personal branding and why it's important?
Absolutely, yes. And, I want to say I agree with Eric that certainly I think it's problematic if people are trying to, create a brand for themselves with no substance behind it. That's sort of antithetical to branding done right. That being said, I think that just because some people are doing it improperly doesn't mean that the enterprise itself is lacking. It just means that there are some bad practitioners out there, just like there are in any field. I think the most important point is that everyone has a personal brand. I mean, this is not something that people can opt into or opt out of. Really, what personal brand is a synonym for your reputation. And so when we have this conversation, it's really focusing in on the question of what is your reputation currently? Is it what you would want it to be? And if it's not, if there's a distance between those two things, what do you then have to do in order to make sure that the rest of the world actually understands what you're about and understands what you're capable of.
So does that mean that personal branding is overrated?
I actually think that personal branding is probably underrated in the sense that that most people are not that focused in on trying to understand, you know, what is the message that I'm sending to the world. But if you don't know that, if you're not cognizant of it and you just assume that, oh, you know, I do a good job, I work hard, people will get it, they're not going to get it. It's like a game of telephone, because the message gets muddled in the transmission. And so you have to be really clear about who you are and what message you want to send in order to then ensure that other people get it.
So in other words, your positioning in the marketplace as an individual needs to be really clear.
Absolutely.
Eric, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's what Tori's talking about is communication, ultimately. I think that I'm not sure if branding is the answer or a better way of communicating who you are is the answer. Maybe branding is the way of communicating who you are. But, you know, we've all seen the strategies for sending out emails, for being on social media, for getting the word out as to who you are and what you do, and is, you know, making it an exercise of networking beyond going to functions and shaking hands. But ultimately, it comes down to communicating who you are and doing good work to the point where people know who you are. I feel like there has been a bit of a cart before the horse of late, where people are going out there telling people what they do without... There seems to be maybe a call for integrity, I would say, in this process. That's how we would shortcut the conversation. I think that it's important for people to communicate who they are and what they do and get their name out there. But there, I have concerns about levels of integrity, especially when it comes to the use of social media. I know that, for instance, in literary agenting, as opposed to other types of representation, people can just say they're a literary agent because there's very little governance of what that is. Whereas if you're an attorney, you have to pass a bar exam. You have to have various certifications depending on what states you are practicing in. But I feel like we set people up to not be as committed to integrity as they should be in this process.
Well, I'm going to argue that it's a little bit of both, and I'll tell you why I say that. I had a guest on an earlier episode of Smashing the Plateau, David Zweig, who wrote the book Invisibles, The Power of Anonymous Work in an Age of Relentless Self-Promotion. And David argues that it's really important to just do good work. But I think part of what we're all talking about is doing good work is great, and that is part of your reputation and part of what creates integrity. But doing good work, if nobody knows about it, may not get you very far.
You know, just to dive in for a second, I think that one of the things that is most salient for me when it comes to social media and the revolution that we've had in the past decade in terms of how people communicate their brand is the fact that social media is actually an amazing truth-telling tool in the sense that, you know, if it was 1995 or 2000 and I just, said, hey, I'm a literary agent, there's not really a good way for other people to vet that necessarily. I mean, you know, maybe they could ask around if they happen to know other literary agents. But if I am doing that today, you can look me up online. You can look for references about me, you know, that are on Google. You can see what I have created. And if I actually have created a blog where I have written hundreds of articles all about the literary ecosystem and the publishing world and things like that, you have the ability to directly evaluate me and say, does this woman know what she's talking about? Whereas before, it was a little bit of a black box. But now, you really can see it for yourself.
Well, I'd say that's accurate to a point. There are times, however, when people who are, let's just say, dissatisfied or have personal grudges may use social media as a weapon against someone And I won't go into my own personal experiences, but there are, what you can find is, much like Yelp reviews for restaurants, you'll find there's always someone who had a one-star crummy experience, and they are more than happy to write a 30-page document about it. Whether it was accurate or not is a question.
So let's actually talk a little bit about reputation and strategy for social media. Because you both have a strong presence on social media. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about your strategy in using it and how that might relate to personal branding.
Sure, I can dive in. The best way to prevent against that, I mean, you can never really stop some crazy person from doing whatever, but the best way to prevent them from causing harm to your online reputation is to start today, to start as soon as possible, creating large amounts of high quality content. Because the more there's sort of a finite amount of oxygen. I mean, clearly, you know, people can put anything up on the web, but what matters on the web is what is on the first few pages of your Google search results. You know, most people, unless you are applying for FBI clearance, are not going to go to page 64 and look for you. They're going to go to the first page, the second page. If you can create content that rises to that level, it is going to drown out everything else. And that is a really good preemptive strategy and a reason why I encourage people to blog or to get active on Twitter or things like that, which the SEO results love.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I also want to say that I read at least one of your books, Dory, and you talk about that there are agencies that review people's content on social media, and people really need to be careful about what they put out there because it can come back to bite them in job opportunities and other things like that. And as an attorney, I can tell you that, like it was said in the social media movie or the social network movie, the internet is written in ink. It's all out there. And when people end up suing people over things that are said in social media, you can't just delete it. It may look like you can, but it's still out there. I'm really on Twitter more than other things. I tend to not be on Facebook except for personal stuff. And I've gone on and off with certain blogs. I felt like I wasn't getting a lot of personal traction on blogs. I find that I've had a lot of success in when I make personal appearances, people then tend to follow me on Twitter after I do a personal experience. So if I go to Seattle or Wisconsin to talk to, let's say, a romance writing group, or here or if I go to the Boston area to talk to mystery writers, I'll make sure that everybody knows what my Twitter handle is and that I either retweet interesting articles about show business in general, law in general, or publishing specifically, or that I will sometimes host times on Twitter to ask me anything for a couple of hours, you know, a hashtag ask agent, or at times when I'm open to queries, I may review queries on Twitter in an anonymous way so as not to call anybody out about their query, but to talk about things that work and that don't work. And that has also provided me with more followers when I do that kind of thing.
You both have had kind of varied work experiences where you've done a number of different things in your professional lives. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you may have used personal branding and or social media to support the variety of things that you've done, and also how you have helped to support changes that you're planning to make professionally. Dory, why don't you start?
Sure. So social media and personal branding has been important to me in a couple of ways. I was able to build a fairly successful consulting business without having much of a social media presence. And, you know, a lot of people can do that if you have good personal connections and a good personal reputation. You can get, word of mouth referrals. You can build a good business. However, if you want to really go to the next level, if you want to go to the next level up beyond the people that you already happen to know, that is where you have to start being strategic about your brand. And so for me, where I really hit a wall was in 2009. I just kind of doubled down. I had always wanted to publish a book. That had just been a longstanding goal of mine. And so in 2009, I really made an effort to try to do that. I wrote multiple book proposals, tried to get them published, and I kept hearing back from publishers, you know, oh, this is nice, but you're not famous enough. And I realized that if I was going to be permitted, essentially, to publish a book with a major publisher, I would need to step back and focus on brand building. And so in my case, I started blogging for places like the Huffington Post, Harvard Business Review, and really tried to, as they say, build my platform. And in the process of doing that, I mean, it's not a rapid process. You really have to invest the time in it. Since 2010, so over the past 5 years, I have written close to 500 articles for different publications, from Forbes to HBR to Entrepreneur to the World Economic Forum blog, and really pushed the content out there. But as a result of that, I've been able to meet new people that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise.
Well, I started out as an attorney for a long time, and then I ended up working for my best friend, who became a New York Times bestselling author. And in the process of us creating that career for her, I got to personally meet a lot of people in publishing, and ultimately I started getting approached by people to do for them what I had done for her. And I had no idea that I had the skills in place to be an agent. I thought, well, I'm an attorney, but I didn't know what to do. And basically I just... several people assured me I could do it. I started to do it, and I started out very small. Then, completely unintentionally, I got involved with Facebook and Twitter, and I have grown my client base and then shrunk it back down as a choice. But I've had a larger reach, namely through the kind of Twitter strategies I had discussed earlier. And then I get asked to make appearances in various places. So I feel like I have a combination of social media and then in-person experience. That personal contact, I think, is very important, at least for what I do. I know there are some people who could do an entire lifetime of business without ever actually meeting their clients in person. But I think, for me, that's not a strategy.
Eric, how instrumental would you say personal branding has been to your experience in building your professional expertise and reputation?
Well, I'm not sure. I think early on people liked me because I looked at publishing like show business, and I didn't think of it as this ivory tower experience. And I think people have come to see that it's become, if it hadn't already been show business, it's become more like show business every day. But also I tended to just not couch things in literary terms, and I was pretty straight ahead. I don't know if that's because I'm a lawyer or because I've been a comedian or just because I'm a New Yorker, but I think that I didn't make an intentional effort to come up with a brand. It's quite possible, however, that I did come up with a brand, and maybe that did have some effect, but I really couldn't speak to that because I never really set out to become any particular type of attorney or literary agent, or at least not to brand myself that way. And maybe, you know, David and Glory, maybe that's something I should be doing, and maybe I would be more successful if I did.
Do you, Eric, do you think that there's a time when one should consciously try to reinvent oneself?
Well, I think that's a very personal decision. And I disagree with F. Scott Fitzgerald. I think there is definitely second acts in America. I think there are third and fourth acts. I've certainly gone through that experience. I am now actually starting the process of personally managing actors and performers in New York. And that is a very different process from representing writers. I think that... I think that's a very personal decision, but if you're going to do it, you have to know that it's a very crowded field out there. And the way, you know, at some point, how do you distinguish yourself? I think Dory's done an excellent job of distinguishing herself because she's got a tremendous amount of content that she's created.
So Dory, would you say that distinguishing yourself, particularly in a crowded marketplace, is part of personal branding?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, for anybody who is a professional, you know, who's a business owner, an entrepreneur, a knowledge worker, the fundamental thing that we have to do these days is find a way to give people a reason to choose us and not somebody else. When all else is equal, people are always going to want to choose the lowest priced option. And, you know, we're never going to be the lowest priced option. We live in America, and, you know, there's going to be someone, you know, whether it's in China or in India or in some other country, who will do it cheaper. And so we have to really come up with a compelling reason. And that reason is your brand. It's the reason why they say, you know what, I'm willing to pay more to work with you because I trust you and I know you're going to do a good job and I know you're going to represent my interests or you're going to come up with a really quality product here. And I think that very much is part of people's brand.
So you're saying that developing your own personal brand impacts your security as a professional?
It is absolutely fundamental to your ability to earn a living.
That's sobering, but not inaccurate. I think, however, you know, I was struck by when Dory said, all things being equal, people will choose the lower price. And my first thought was, no, wait. And then I was like, oh, right, all things being equal. But that's the whole premise there, is that they're not equal. So you have to be incredibly service oriented or the most well respected. Although sometimes I have to tell you, I think people do want to pay more so they can say they paid more. My experience in the corporate world with people who hire attorneys for large corporations is there's a little bit of CYA that happens, and for those uninitiated, that means cover your ass, that if something goes wrong, they can go back to their superiors and say, well, I hired the most expensive attorneys or consultants or whatever. I thought I was getting the best. So, I'm not sure how that plays out exactly, but I will say that my experience is I will pay more for better service. And I expect that many people will too.
Now, would either of you say that people will pay more for a strong personal brand?
Well, I think they're fundamentally tied in, absolutely, because they're not paying more for a strong personal brand per se, but they are paying more for the attributes that the personal brand conveys. So, you know, for instance, I could hire, Joe Schmo as a marketing consultant, and you know, I could look up on Elance right now, and I could say, you know, I need a marketing strategy for my business. Who wants to create one for me? And I'll get bids, and there's going to be somebody who says, okay, I'll create a 150 page marketing strategy for you for $30. Okay, great. And you know, you can get that, but the real question is, why would I not do that? Why would I instead be willing, and you know, people actually do this, to pay $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 to work with a certain person or a certain firm? And it's because of who they are. It's because of the trust that we have in them that we really want to work with the best. And so if I was a, you know, a marketing director at a company, and I wanted to bring in outside help, and I had the opportunity to either have Joe Schmo at $35 or to hire somebody like Seth Godin, say, who's, you know, a best-selling marketing author, I would have far more faith and trust in him, and I would be willing to pay exponentially more money because I would say, you know what, this is worth it. I know that I'm going to get the best information possible.
Well, I think that there's... You know, I think about how people pay for designer labels and whether those are quote-unquote worth it or not. There are some high-end clothing makers who make amazing clothes, and you just put it on and you feel like $1 million and you look really great. And there are others where it's a label and the question is, are you wearing it to impress somebody else? It's not exactly what we're talking about, but I think that there is something analogous there. I will say that sometimes people won't go with a less costly option because inside of them they make a decision that if it's cheaper, it must not be as good. Even if it was, you know, I personally have looked at pricing my services per hour as an attorney, and I spoke with a gentleman, a friend of mine, who is a former chief counsel of a Fortune 500 company, and he convinced me to raise my rates for the very reason that people don't really respect you if you underprice yourself. It doesn't mean that they're more likely to go to you. They will actually go away from you because they don't think they don't see the value in a less expensive experience. But for me, I think that reputation is everything. And I think people are willing to pay more for someone with a sterling reputation.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're both saying that reputation is very important.
Well,
for
I
sure.
So let's shift gears for a minute, and I wondered if you could each name someone who has been influential to your career, which will tell us a little bit more about your own thinking and your own background. Dory, why don't you start?
Sure. There are a couple of people that are thinkers that I think have been very meaningful in terms of how I think about business and life in general. One is Robert Cialdini, who many of your listeners may know as the author of the book Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. He is an eminent psychologist, and his book, is seminal when it comes to the psychology of business. It's sold more than 2 million copies and is almost anything you need to know. It's kind of a definitive work about persuasion. So if you're a business person, if you're just curious about life, it's a very good read. The other book and person that I'll mention is a guy named Alan Weiss, who is a writer about consulting practices. And so as a consultant, you know, anybody who sells professional services, I think, can benefit from it because he has a lot of really good insights about structuring the mechanics of everything from you know, writing your proposals to how to deal with clients and things like that. I think a lot of people get into consulting or other service businesses and they don't really know a lot of these elements, and you need to learn them in order to actually have a successful, sustainable business. And so when I was first starting out, reading his material was very helpful in terms of being able to do that.
Great. Those are good examples. Eric, how about you?
Well, one of the influential people for me, unfortunately, is deceased a couple of years ago, but Hazard Gillespie, who was a partner at the firm of Davis Polk, was a personal friend of mine and a mentor. He grew up on a large estate, went to Yale, and while he was there, the Depression hit. His father lost everything. He ended up going to law school and becoming federal prosecuting attorney in New York for some time, and ultimately partnered Davis Polk. And he often spoke to me about how important it was not just to go to the books to see what the law was, but to use one's imagination to see where the law should be going and to be persuasive about moving forward and not taking just the usual argument, but thinking outside the box. Which is another phrase that's been overused, but in this case, I'm still going with it. and also, he was a heck of a sailor and taught me to sail. And sailing is a great metaphor for life. And again, that's another podcast.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. It sure is.
Yeah, I love sailing. Another pair of influencers are Ariel and Shia Kane, who lead workshops on transformational technology, communication, business. They're actually available at transformationmadeeasy.com. And they have been close personal friends for years, but also have been great mentors and teachers for me in taking a look at our mechanical behaviors, things that we automatically do that we don't even see that limit us, and to see what's possible beyond what we think is possible. And they have been very instrumental for me in growing my business and helping me actually move forward in doing a lot more things in my life than I thought I would be doing.
Sound like great examples.
Oh, they also have several books out, including their first book, which is an excellent book I would recommend, called Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, trying to get people to stop working on themselves. And that's a whole other conversation. I think they'd be excellent guests for your podcast, by the way.
That's great. We'll talk about that. So could you each tell us one thing you're working on right now? Eric, why don't you start?
Sure. Well, I'm starting to work on managing a few actors. I started with a couple of close friends of mine who are already working and very well credentialed. One's a graduate from NYU, another from Juilliard. And, you know, because I was also a professional actor for several decades in and out of New York, I'm taking my experience of that personal experience, as well as my legal expertise, as well as my experience managing and ushering writers, and putting that into performer domain. And I'm very excited about what's happening with that.
Sounds very exciting. Dory, how about you? What are you working on now?
Well, one of the most exciting things that I'm working on, David, is that I have a new book which is going to be coming out April 21st. It's called Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. And it really is a book about how to become a recognized expert in your field. I interviewed about 50 thought leaders in different fields, ranging from business to technology to urban planning to genomics, and essentially tried to reverse engineer how it was that they came up with their ideas and really broke through into the public consciousness. So I'm excited to be launching that, and I'm going to be doing a book tour. So I hope, hopefully I can connect with some of your listeners in person at these events.
That would be awesome. It sounds very exciting and very timely. So tell us, how can listeners learn more about you? Dory?
For me, probably the best way is my website, which is doryclark.com, DoryClark. There's more than 400 free articles on the website, so people can check that out and subscribe to my email newsletter if they'd like to get some of my best material for free. I'm on Twitter at Dory Clark, and my books, Reinventing You and Stand Out, are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local bookstore.
Sounds great. Eric, how can we learn more about you?
You can go to my website, rubenlaw.org. That's RubenLaw.org. Also, follow me on Twitter at Eric Ruben Lawyer. That's Eric, ERICRUBEN Lawyer.
Great. Dory and Eric, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Thank you, listeners. My guests today have been author and professor Dory Clark and attorney and literary agent Eric Ruben. Thank you again for joining us. You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com. And join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.